just to mention, thank you, John, for getting this put together and printed for us. We have, we printed 250 of these. So, anyone, Christian, who professes to be a Christian, mother, claims to be a Christian, or any who die, let's distribute them and get them in the hands of these mothers, please. And we want to ask the Lord's blessings specifically on this work and this dear, dear brother of ages gone by yet speaks to us from the grave. And I say this regularly, but I want to keep it before our minds. We dare not assume to ourselves that because we do something like having this printed, God is just, that's it. God's obligated to just do great things with it. We need to bathe it in prayer. We need to pray for God's blessing, that He would attend it, for all these efforts are worse than vanity, except God attend them with His Spirit and His blessing. So let's daily commit these things, these booklets, these tracts, all this material, daily commend them to our God in your private devotions, and daily seek His face to bless these things. And we thank Him. We especially thank Him and bless Him for having brought these things in His providence across our past. These are things, I was thinking the other day, these are the kinds of things, so many books that John finds online and Brother Justin finds online, these fellows that are savvy with that. You know, I was thinking about the other day how that without the internet, there's tons of this stuff coming up out now, coming at least coming into the world of knowledge that we have laid our hands on, so many pieces that we've laid our hands on because of the internet. Prior to the internet, most of us would never have heard or seen any of these things. So, God has been pleased to allow us to live in a day in which these things that have been buried, literally buried, for hundreds of years, we can put our hands on them and put them back in the hands of people. So, I think we have been given an incredible opportunity, and I hope that we as a church always realize that with that opportunity comes incredible responsibility to take those opportunities and use them in gospel work, including our Christian mothers. So the boxes are back there. Help yourself to them and pray for that daily. Pray for God to bless and use these instruments. Let us not be presumptuous in that matter. Bunyan, picking up our reading today, Brother Justin, if you would get to look at Isaiah 49 for me, please. Isaiah 49, verse 8 and 11, and hold that for us as we turn to Bunyan, to Pilgrim's Progress. Isaiah 49, verse 8 and 11. I'd like for him to read those verses as an introduction to this section of Bunyan going to the Delectable Mountains. Read that for us, brother.
Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritage. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted.
So in an acceptable time, the prophet said, God said through the prophet to Israel, in an acceptable time, I've heard thee. I've heard thee. And I think that is a good introduction when you move from that last paragraph we studied last time to this new paragraph. The Lord heard their cries. They remember they prayed all that night. and he heard their cries, gave them the promises, and in an acceptable day, he delivered them, brought them out. And that's where we find our pilgrim when we come to this next paragraph. They went on then, you remember they raised up a monument? They erected a sign to try to warn other people about this horrible giant despair and warn them against going over that stile and down by Path Meadow. And they erected their marker and then they moved on. So they went then till they came to the Delectable Mountains. And that word, delectable, just an old English word, it just simply means very, very pleasing. Very highly pleasing. Delectable Mountains. Which mountains belonged to the Lord of the Hill of which we have spoken before. So they went up to the mountains to behold the gardens and orchards, the vineyards and fountains of water, where also they drank and washed themselves and did freely eat of the vineyards. Now this is quite a different scene, is it not? What a glorious scene this is compared to the scenery they have just left. They found the keys to the prison, which were the promises of God. And applying those promises by faith, they found themselves liberated from that doubt. And I assure you, doubt. It's funny, we had this discussion. We're just having this discussion. I can assure you that if Satan can use any ploy to cause the believer to begin just to cast a little doubt over the Word of God, just the slightest doubt, if he can get your foot to slip on that ground, doubt, then you will not be in the Delectable Mountains, that's for sure. You won't be long, you'll be out of the path and under giant despair altogether. But having come through that and come out of that, and who but Bunyan? Who knew better than Bunyan what it was to occupy that ground and now to occupy this ground of the Delectable Mountains it is described. Weeping may endure for a night, some the text says, but joy cometh in the morning, and brought to the Delectable Mountains, where they are fed with the precious fruit of gospel promises. The children of God have meat to eat that the world knoweth not of. They cannot comprehend how the soul can live upon these unseen promises and be satisfied with a happiness only in prospect. But the true sheep find this the most delightful feeding. One promise of faith, this is worth a writing, putting as a quote. I don't have it, intend to use it in a quote on our bulletin. But here's a great quote. One promise of faith applied to the soul yields the most solid nourishment. One promise by faith applied to the soul yields a most solid nourishment. And as they are thus fed in green pastures, so they are led forth to the still waters, to the pool of ordinances. Like that picture. They're led along to the pool of ordinances, where in the use of the appointed means, living streams flow down upon their thirsty souls. That spiritual rock that follows them, that rock which is Christ. Christ is their all in all. He is their shepherd. He is their meat and drink, for his flesh is meat indeed, and his blood drink indeed, and graciously invites. If any man thirst, let him come and drink. And hear the faint, the weary, the thirsty sheep come. And drinking deep in those solitary streams, and washing away their daily contracted filthiness in their purifying fountain, their decayed strength is restored to them. Daily. 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 Drinking from these streams. Eating from these fruits. Gospel fruits. Daily. Their strength is renewed to them. Well, what a beautiful scene this is, Bunyan paints for us. The delectable mountains. Mountains belonging to the Lord of the hill. Mountains in which there are gardens and orchards and vineyards and fountains of water, where they drank and washed and freely eat of the vineyards. Now there were, on the tops of these mountains, shepherds feeding their flocks. And they stood by the highway side. Now, who are these shepherds standing on the tops of the mountains? Though Christ is the chief shepherd, the shepherd by the way of eminence, yet he appoints under shepherds to feed his flock with the pure words of his grace. These are the shepherds that are appointed by the Lord of the land to feed these sheep in these delectable mountains. Lead them about. Take them to the pools. Take them to the orchards. Direct them and feed them. This is the work. This is the work of these shepherds, they're called. The pilgrims therefore went to them, and leaning upon their staves, as is common with weary pilgrims, when they stand to talk with any by the way, they ask this question, whose delectable mountains are these, and whose be the sheep that feed upon them? Now, before we entertain the question, pause with me right there and entertain this picture of the sheep, Christian coming along and in these delectable mountains leaning on their staffs, as is common with weary pilgrims when they stand to talk with any by the way. Some of you gentlemen tell me, what is he picturing here? What picture exactly is Bunyan drawing? Who's he talking? What's he talking about? What are they leaning on their staffs?
They're leaning on the Word of God. They're trusting on the Word of God to hold them up.
The promises. The Word of God. The staff is the Word of God. And when they pause to talk to one another, you find what is common. I like his use of the word. You find what is common when you hear these conversations. It's common to hear from them that they are leaning on their staffs. And of course, he takes that physical picture of a man coming to rest and leaning on his staff to talk. He takes that physical picture in this allegory to paint a spiritual picture. The picture is that, as Loughran says, the men, pilgrims, as they talk with one another, by the way, it is common to notice of them that they are leaning on their staffs. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? When you hear Christians talking, don't you hear it over and over how that they're leaning on the promises of God? The Word of God, they're leaning on it. They must lean on it. And that's why it's so important we have such a complete and a pure and complete reliance upon it and trust in it. Because we're leaning on it. And that is our stay as we are in the way. The pilgrims therefore went to them, and leaning on their staves, as is common with weary pilgrims when they stand to talk by the way, they asked, whose delectable mountains are these, and whose be the sheep that feed upon them? And now a shepherd answers, these mountains are Emmanuel's land, and they are within sight of his city. Hallelujah! Can I just say hallelujah right there? Boy, I'll tell you what. As many a night or a time, maybe in a service, maybe during preaching, sometime when the Good Shepherd allows us to graze in some wonderful pasture, feeds us with some wonderful fruit, and opens to us some wonderful fountain. And oh my goodness, that delectable mountain gets well in sight of the city, his city. And as that saint is feasting on that fruit, gospel fruit, and drinking from that gospel fountain, he gets well in sight. I was reading a testimony this last week in Janeway's writings. The children, a little girl was suffering from a disease that was, the little girl was only 8 years old, suffering from a very, very, very painful disease, and she was dying. And just before she passed, several days she struggled and was in great pain and struggled in her heart as well as in her body, and finally, toward the end, the Lord allowed her to be led to the Delectable Mountains, and she was drinking from that gospel fountain of the pure mercy of God in Christ. And right at the end, she turned to her mother and said, Mother, weep no more. She said, all the pain is gone. She was within sight of the city. Got up on a delectable mountain, feeding on the fruit, and found herself within sight of his city. And the sheep also are his, the shepherd said, and he laid down his life for them. He laid down his life for them. As Moses from the top of Pisgah got a view of the goodly land, so believers in the use of appointed means sometimes get a view by faith of the King in his beauty. I am, said Christ, the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. As they are so dearly purchased, he will not, cannot, suffer them to perish, but will give unto them eternal life, the seal and the earnest of which they are partakers here below. The seal and earnest of which they are partakers in here below. They got within sight of the city. And the sheep that are there, they belong to him. Christ is the surety of the new covenant. For the benefit of sinners in every part of the world, and when those that were sitting in darkness are truly converted unto God, he inherits the desolate heritage. He says to poor sinners and grievous backsliders that they tied and bound in the gloomy prison of sin and despair. He says to them, go forth and show yourselves. And when he has set them at liberty, he deals with them in the most bountiful manner. By the means of grace, the ministrations of faithful shepherds, and the supply of the Holy Spirit, he feeds them and satisfies them, guides them and instructs them, leads them on in the way everlasting. They are raised above the petty concerns of fleeting scene and brought, as it were, to the delectable mountains, where they breathe a pure air and get a clearer view of heaven itself, as well as learn very excellent things which are needful for their future progress. The delectable mountains. Well, whose mountains are these? Pilgrim said. The shepherd said, they belong to Emmanuel. These are Emmanuel's lands, and they're within sight of the city. Is this the way, Christian asked, to the celestial city? The shepherd says, you are just in the way. Right here. You are in the way. How far is it thither? Now, I want you to get this answer. What a profound response Bunyan pens, this shepherd. How far is it to the celestial city, says Christian? And the shepherd says, too far. Too far for any but those that shall get thither indeed. What an amazing answer. Too far, except for those that will indeed get there. How far is it? Well, that is how far it is. That's exactly how far it is. Too far. Except for those that are real pilgrims. Except for those that are real sheep. Except for those that really will get there. Scott had a good comment there in your book. The certainty of the final perseverance of true believers is continually exemplified in their actual persevering. Notwithstanding all imaginable inward and outward impediments, many hold the doctrine who are not interested in the privilege, and whose conduct eventually proves that they had no root in themselves. But the true believer acquires new strength by his very trials and mistakes, and possesses increasing evidence that the new covenant is made with him. While temptations, persecutions, heresies, and afflictions which stumble transgressors and detect hypocrites tend to quicken, humble, sanctify, and establish him, he may assuredly conclude he shall be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Is there any possibility a believer will be lost? No, none at all. Is there any possibility that a false professor will be lost? He will certainly be lost. Why? Because it's too far. How far is it to heaven? Too far, friend. Too far. It's too far for any but those who shall get there indeed. Christian says, is the way safe or dangerous? Oh, says the shepherd, safe for those for whom it is to be safe. But transgressors shall fall. What is Bunyan doing here? He's continually putting our nose back on the same subject. What is that? The difference between a true believer and a false professor. Is the way safe? Oh yes, there's plenty safe for those for whom it's to be safe. and for those that it's not. How then is it said that the righteous scarcely shall be saved? Doth this imply a possibility of the believer falling short of heaven? By no means. This is to be understood of the extreme difficulties, troubles, sufferings, and apparent dangers through which the righteous are to pass in their way to heaven, and not any real hazard as to the event with respect to the purpose, promise, and power of God for accomplishing it. In other words, because they experience these difficulties and sufferings and trials and all these problems, these are no indications that they're unsafe. No, they're very safe. Because these very events will further their progress. It indeed guarantees their safety by moving them on in that direction. Is it safe? Safe indeed for those to whom it is to be safe. And how many professors grow weary in the way, fall short, and fail of coming to the end? Though the way be too far, too straight, and too narrow for many who set out and never hold on to the end, yet all who are begotten by the word of grace, born of the Spirit of truth, shall persevere unto the end, being kept by the mighty power of God through faith unto salvation. The elect shall obtain. The rest shall be blinded. Is the way safe? Oh, safe indeed, says Mr. Bunyan, for whom it is to be safe. Oh, yes, dear Bunyan. And then the Christian asks again, is there in this place any relief for pilgrims that are weary and faint in the way? The shepherd says, the Lord of these mountains hath given us a charge not to be forgetful to entertain strangers. Thereof, the good of the place is before you. There it is. The good of the place is before you. Is there any relief? How often have we asked that question? Is there any relief? And the Lord's response comes back, the good of the place is before you. The good of the place is before you. It's all before you. See these delectable mountains. See all this book full of gospel promises. See all these fountains from which you may drink freely. The good of the place is before you. Yes, there's relief. There's gospel relief. Pick up there, Lord willing, on next week and read Mr. Bunyan again. Let's pray together, if we may. Bow your heads, please. Lord, I thank you for the delectable mountains. How seldom have I traveled there. It is because my faith is weak and I've not laid hold of the promises. I have not used the key to open Doubting Castle. My failure has resulted in my misery. But the good of the place is before me. You've held back nothing, but laid it all out for me, and I thank you. I pray that you'd help me to be a more faithful pilgrim, stay in the way and not go over the stile. Bless us and speak to us, Lord, and give us strength to be faithful pilgrims. May we indeed find it safe, and may we indeed find it not too far. but that we would journey faithfully. We do pray again for this booklet that our brother has helped us to reproduce and publish. We pray that you would bless it and own it. Speak to the hearts of many mothers in our generation. Speak to them through our brother who is with you. Scudder, we pray that you'd speak, Lord, again through him to our mothers and bless the gospel. We pray for our brother, Lord, that you would strengthen him today. Bless Brother Justin and help him and fill his heart with your design and your zeal and, Lord, your truth. Fill him and speak through him to sinners there at the nursing home. Meet every need, Lord, there, and bless him in the labors of the gospel. We pray for your grace to us this coming week, Lord. Keep us. Oh, how, Lord, how quickly we're ready to fall. How willing we are to fall. Help us and hold us up in thy great arms. Bless us, we pray now. We thank you and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.